B-Pod Studios.
Brady under center.
Fires down the middle.
He throws a long ball right.
Throws down the left seam for Gronkowski.
Touchdown! Patriots!
Tom Brady plays on one station in Boston. 98.5, the Sports Zone.
Listening at home to Toucher and Rich is simple with your Amazon or Google smart speaker.
Oh, I need one of those.
Just say, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Dan told me to watch you. Well, just lights up with this.
I like this.
98.5 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich grew up in Atlanta. I lived there for 8 years. Very quickly, I will give my recommendations. Rich, feel free. My favorite neighborhood in Atlanta is Virginia Highlands. My favorite bar in Atlanta is called Fontaine's. It is on Virginia Avenue or whatever, Virginia Road or whatever the hell it is. The Steamhouse Lounge is where you will find Crash Clark.
Mm-hmm.
That is located in Midtown. The best steak restaurant is Chops.
Yeah, Chops, Bones, and there's a new one that I ate at called Ken Rathbun's Steak, which I think is like the highest reviewed one, which you can literally sit in my old rehearsal space where mice used to be running all over the place. It was the gentrification. Basically, we were in the crappiest area of town, and now it's like the hippest area of
the
town.
The rumor is we get to that when the big Beasley get-together during the week is going to be at a steakhouse.
Okay.
All right, so hopefully I can stay awake during this one.
And you have to go to Fat Matt's Rib Shack. If you're going to get barbecue, you got to go to Fat Matt's
and
Rib Shack.
If you want to hear some cool blues.
But that's like real blues, guys.
I've seen
80-year-olds.
I've seen kids
close to death.
I've seen kids that look like Ralph Macchio in Crossroads.
Well, if they made a deal with the devil, it's different.
No, but that is good barbecue. And if you want to see famous people, go to the Palm in the Westin Hotel in Buckhead, because that is where all the famous people will be, and all the famous people will be staying in the Westin in Buckhead.
And Waffle House is as good as you hear it is.
Yeah, Waffle House is great, but my don't have it for breakfast unless you're returning from a night out. Waffle House is good regardless, but it's. I'll get a warm feeling if I go there after drinking of all the nights when I actually could stay out till 4 a.m. And that's a warm feeling.
Nothing better than just slathering 2 packets of butter on top of one of their waffles and just dousing it in syrup.
So I will be at Fontaine's at least 3 times during that trip. And then, what did I say?
We got a Waffle House on our block. Walk and I where we're staying.
Yep. Steamhouse Lounge is where you'll see Crash.
There's a decent burger chain called Ted's, and it's owned by Ted Turner. It's like a...
Buffalo.
It's like bison and buffalo burgers.
They're like, it's good for you.
Unbelievable.
There's a place called Victory Burger, right? That's a tourist place to go?
No, Varsity. You know, Varsity, I've never been to the Varsity.
I've been once.
I have. I mean, it's nothing special. Everyone goes there. It's a tourist trap. The Vortex in Little Five Points.
Little Five Points is a really cool neighbor. And there's one in Midtown. They might have gotten rid of the one in Midtown. But the Vortex, yes. The Vortex has the second best hamburger I've ever had in my life.
You'll know that you're there. Little Five Points is this area where they sell, like, you know, vinyl, and there's all these like old school record stores and like thrift shops and stuff. But you'll know that you're at the Vortex because the door is a gigantic skull head that you have to walk through.
Yeah, I forgot the Vortex.
Yeah,
I will go to the Vortex once.
There you go. So there's your places to go. And I know that Big Jim Murray for a couple years lived down there. He's got a few recommendations. He's lived there like more recently than we have. So there's a lot of stuff that's gone up through.
He doesn't know more than me. I go down there. I was just there a couple of months ago. Dan O'Brien, there is someone, though. If you don't believe in a human's ability to evolve, so many times in this world, we put someone in a box, and then we don't allow for a perspective to change, for someone's life experience to change them,
mm-hmm.
and we leave them stuck in a certain era of their lives. Well, Crash, who you all know, he of getting drunk and everything else.
Alvin doesn't deserve money, but I do.
That's when he's trying to negotiate his contract at the Wing Bowl, which is one of my all-time favorite Crash moments at the Hooters. He was on stage at the Hooters trying to negotiate his contract.
That's one of the funniest things we ever played.
At one point when he's on stage, some guy's yelling, he goes, "Shut up, fat guy."
Mike was in the audience that night, right?
Well, he was talking to Mike.
He was talking to Mike,
talking
our boss.
All right. So Crash used to be, now Crash is extremely happy.
Yep.
He is still married to his wife, Melissa. He's really, really happy. He has got a job doing morning traffic. Now, this is a job where you're essentially Sonny Elliott, the weatherman.
Yep, yep.
Like, he is the guy who goes, like, to, like, Six Flags and goes, there's a new roller coaster. Ah!
It's perfect. It's the perfect job for Crash.
Right, but it's diametrically opposed to what he used to be.
Sure. I mean,
he was, like, you know, a crazy philanderer, man about town.
He was obsessed with feet.
Feet.
But now he is the 180 degrees different. He wears a suit. Like, he is, he has to be, like, really happy all the time. Mm-hmm. He loves it. But here is Crash Clark's. And we have not heard this.
Okay, so this, apparently, Hardy found this and played it for Zolak and Bertrand yesterday. This is a news report he did about the events going on in Atlanta for the Super Bowl.
All right, here we go.
From Mary Max to Magic City, we all know Atlanta has a lot of things going on here, right? Mm. And the Super Bowl is going to be bringing more than a million people right here to our city. So we asked you what visitors should do during their stay here for the Super Bowl. Now, I have interviewed Jermaine Dupri. He said World of Coca-Cola, Georgia Aquarium, Waka Flocka, and Tammy Rivera.
Stop.
Liza, they say...
Okay, hang
stop.
On.
Don't do any of that.
No, none of that.
I haven't... I've never been to... I wasn't around when the aquarium was there, but...
Oh, the aquarium's amazing.
But I've never gone to the World of Coke.
I have.
I actually have, too. Oh, what a loser you are.
It's just...
I went there a long time ago.
I went there for a field trip.
Yeah, Rich, you grew up there. Of course, at one point, they're going to stick you in there. Well, it's just a nerd. World of Coke.
No. I didn't, like, show up and, like, deliberately plan a trip there. The people I visited took me there.
That is... What in the hell is your friend that took you to the World of Coke?
Yep. Well, they lived out in Ackworth. There wasn't much there to begin with.
No, but they drove you into the city.
Yeah.
The World of Coke is a museum of Coca-Cola.
Exactly. It's exactly what it is.
It's a blast.
Yep. There were 30 different types of sodas at the end. You can only imagine.
You can taste what Coca-Cola tastes like in China.
That's right.
The formula is a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. Can tell.
And by the way, I'm not trying to be cool saying like I haven't been to these places. The Varsity's always packed and there was just never a reason to go.
Varsity's fine. It's fine. It's just there's nothing special about it.
It's the way you order, I guess, is special.
Yeah, they say scream. What do you have? What do you have?
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Okay. But I'm not trying to be cool. It's just always a big line and it's not worth it. All right. But the Coca-Cola Museum, I'm not even saying
just
I'm
burn
cool.
your money. It's like when I go to
why would you possibly
It's like when you go to Times Square, it's like let's go to M&M's World.
Yeah.
Like why would you do that?
But why would you go to Times
Square?
I don't know why would you go to Times Square. That place is a nightmare to me.
Well, they got Bubba Gump Shrimp Company, which is the best seafood restaurant rated in the world.
It's too overwhelming for me. I can't take it.
Oh, yeah. Have fits. You go to Times Square, you get fits.
You might as well just drop me into a panic attack. Everything that causes me panic is right there. A million people, really tall, loud building.
Oh, yep. and go there with a kid. And there's these people in these extremely disgusting, dirty costumes who come up and like try to like grab you. I think my kid got hand, foot, and mouth disease by touching a knockoff Woody from Toy Story.
And you're not lying. All right, here is Crash.
It's a Busy Bees. It's a soul food place here in town. So what are the people saying on the board?
Well, you have your segment Road Tripping with Crash. So yeah. What are your suggestions?
Well, one thing that I think we're forgetting about is that 1,000-foot giant piece of granite out there called Stone Mountain. Lot to do out there.
Okay, stop. Stop. By the way, two things. One, Crash's voice has changed.
Oh, yeah, because he's got to be, like, super happy all the time.
Which is great. As I said, this is his thing. But two, Stone Mountain... Why don't you Google it right now? It's not getting the best PR.
Yeah, it's a Confederate thing.
No, it's Stone Mountain is a... As a matter of fact, I think it's the home of the Klan, if you Google Stone Mountain.
And isn't it like the Mount Rushmore of...
Fred, it's all the Confederate generals, yes. And every night they have something called the laser show, where people lie down on the lawn, and they shoot lasers up on there, and at the very end, the soldiers march in glory off the mountain, like Robert E. Lee, and the place goes crazy.
The founding of the Ku Klux Klan.
It is, isn't it? Yeah, so Crash just told them to go to the place where the Ku Klux Klan was founded,
and by the way,
at the very end, a laser show, I'm telling you, people think that everyone's like, oh, Boston is racist. Oh. Dude, this happens in plain sight. Of the people who are like fighting for slavery march off the mountain in victory and everyone stands up and cheers.
And not only that, it's incredibly boring.
Not if you like to hear Ghostbusters in the Land Down Under done with lasers.
Yeah, that, don't go to Stone Mountain. Continue. It's far, kind of far away, too. Go ahead.
Called Stone Mountain. A lot to do out there, a lot of fun. But I mean, and Jesse and I were mentioning, I think you could just stay in the heart of downtown, you know. You've got the Civil Rights Museum, you've got the World of Coke, you've got the aquarium. Yeah. So much to do downtown. I mean, a lot of folks may not want to be taking Uber rides all around mm-hmm. Georgia. But
if they're lucky enough to stay downtown.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Well, that's true, yeah. You know. It's true with that. But yeah, there's a lot to do and see in this town. I mean, just going into Midtown alone, it's so developed. So many restaurants and shops to do. I mean, head over to Lenox and Phipps, you know, you want to get a little shopping experience. Buckhead is all redone and new with shops. And restaurants.
Yeah, we got the Lenox Mall, Old Lady Gang.
Yeah, that's right.
They have a mall?
Go to Lenox Mall if you want to have, if you like really crowded small spaces.
We used to do a bit where I would walk through Lenox Mall and you'd find out how many people would give you CDs of like mixtapes that they had made.
Yeah.
Because people would go there and it was kind of like a breeding ground. And they knew that like people like Jermaine Dupri used to shop at Lenox Mall. So all these aspiring like rappers would make mixtapes and just hand them out to strangers in case you happen to know someone like Jermaine Dupri or Usher or whatever like that. I mean, that part of it was kind of awesome because it was basically like a battle of the bands and like rap-offs right in the middle of the food court.
Yeah, but everyone like hangs out there during these events and it's a nightmare.
Someone said, is Stone Mountain as pompous as the mountains in Maine, though? I mean, he's got a good point.
How about that big slab of granite we have at Stone Mountain? Listen, he's happier than he's ever been professionally. And God bless
you. No. I'm not, other than the recommendation to go to Stone Mountain.
No, it was recommendations are terrible.
Oh, hang on. This is from the AJC.com. I was just sent this article, which is the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, and it is titled, White Nationalists Plan Stone Mountain Rally Super Bowl Weekend.
Good.
So there you go. Have yourself a grand old time. No pun intended.
If you like really bad sushi, but it's my favorite sushi in the world, there's Roussan's. There's one in Buckhead and there's one in Midtown. I got to go there.
They've been denied a permit. Quote, to hell with their permit. The Constitution is our permit.
Yeah.
Said Michael Weaver, a white nationalist activist.
Trust me, white nationalism or not, what do you want to go stare at a piece of granite? Like, what do you want to do today? We're only in Atlanta for a couple of days. Let's drive out to Stone Mountain and sit there. Oh, yep. That's a piece of granite. All right.
Yeah, it's big.
We used to do concerts there, free concerts. Okay. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, the Sports Hub.
.985, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. We're on Twitch every morning. Visit twitch.tv and search the Sports Hub to watch the show live or get the Twitch app on your smartphone. And we're going to be on Radio Row, and you'll be able to see all that on Twitch next week. Plus, if you have one of them listening devices that Google and the Amazons put out, you can say play 98.5 the Sports Hub, and then voila,
and then there it is right there. It's like magic.
As opposed to, you know, turning that dial or whatever.
Yeah, it's just, you know, more fingers to use.
Exactly.
Everything's so damn easy.
All right, so Kellerman can't get, Kellerman is on such a hot streak.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable.
Well, I mean, this is going to be as big as he's been. I just, between when you get trolled, when the team that's going into the Super Bowl makes a video that involves you and tweets it out to their fan base as an in-your-face, we saw it happen here at its station. They did it with Mike Felger, and all of a sudden everyone's like, ah, suck at Felger, but everyone's listening to Felger
right when
that happens. And with Max Kellerman, it's the exact same effect. What's he going to say? No, I hate that guy. He sucks, but I'm going to listen to see what he has to say.
Yeah, this is all just, you might as well just put money in his pocket.
Oh, yeah, right. And right now he
is. You could say that Kellerman right now is the most important sports analyst in the country.
More than Stephen A. Right now.
Yes.
He's getting a lot more press for being Captain Controversial. But something that did happen I thought was pretty great. And I will actually give Max Kellerman a little bit of credit, because in this story, he doesn't come across as the jackass.
No.
No, it's somebody else. So Kellerman, they were talking about how the Raiders need to move on from Derek Carr.
Brought that up.
Well, that is something that has been rumored for a while. And as a matter of fact,
I think Kellerman might have been listening to the show and stealing a little takety take.
Well, we know that he does that. Yeah, absolutely. Well, they said that Kyler Murray is somebody that possibly the team should make some sort of trade up, you know, with some first round picks.
Three first round picks.
They got a lot of
capital.
They got a handful.
Murray just going to slide right into that innovative Gruden style of football.
Yep. So some guy tweeted Derek Carr about this. Now what Kellerman's point was that, you know, you could see that Derek Carr doesn't try as hard anymore. He's, you know, he's losing it, blah, 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 blah. And so somebody tweeted Derek Carr and said, damn, first take, why are you hating on at Derek Carr QB? So he gets copied on it. Check the stats, and I don't want to hear he's shell-shocked when you didn't even watch him in the second half of the season. SMH, stay off the weed, man. And then Derek Carr responded by saying, it's because I blocked them both for trash-talking about our team. Those two clowns don't know anything about this game. Would love to actually sit down and break film with these two on TV just to show their viewers how incompetent and lacking qualification they are about the game. And then somebody said,
that's their job, after all.
Let me see. That is their
to break down film. That would be very entertaining for their audience.
And to that, Derek Carr tweeted the UFC and Dana White and said, hey, how do I challenge a bunch of these clowns on TV to a fight? I think we should start a business together where pro athletes can challenge some of these people to an octagon fight until they give us an answer. You don't know me. Stop lying.
Yeah.
So you're going to fight him? That's your thing now? You're going to fight him?
I know. But yeah, that's ridiculous because it's like a dude in media making fun of your football. There should be some kind of rule, though, with the anonymity of the internet and social media. Here's what social media should have to do. You should have to be able to prove that you're a real person and go under, like, Twitter should have your information of your real name and everything. They should demand that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you could be called Captain, you know, Poopy Pants or whatever you want to be called. But there should be some evidence of who this person is. Because if there's a threat or anything like that, so that can be mitigated. I do understand the urge of wanting to face someone face-to-face and beat the living hell out of them. I understand that urge.
You see, I don't. Like fighting a guy over something. All right.
No. Not.
That's not about their family or anything like that. It's like
No. I agree with you. That's ridiculous what Carr said to Kellerman. Yeah. It's stupid. Like, you're proving his point, dummy. Like, you can't, like, what, do you want to break film with me? Right. You're a professional quarterback, stupid. Like, of course you can see it. Yeah. Well, yeah. You know what? I couldn't play quarterback.
Yeah.
You cracked the code there.
Let's have a skills competition. See who the better quarterback is.
Right.
I'd say it's you.
Like, you fight Mike Tyson. No, I'm not a professional boxer.
Remember when Gammon said, let's see you hit a fastball.
Yeah, I couldn't do it. In fact, I'd poo myself if you threw an 85-mile-an-hour fastball at me at my age. Unless it was out of a machine. If there was a human being throwing an 85-mile-an-hour fastball towards me, I would bail like you wouldn't believe.
So Derek Carr says, say what you want, but don't question somebody's character as a man if you don't know them. Our job as NFL athletes is to try and leave the game better for the next generation. See, I thought it was to win games,
perform well.
So let's start an octagon business to give some accountability to these kinds of people. And there was an emoji with a fist.
The accountability is the amount of people that listen to them. If people don't like what he's saying so much and they don't watch, then he's gone. Accountability for what? Accountability for having an opinion that you suck?
So both of them responded, both Max Kellerman, and Max Kellerman's was just, you know, fairly level-headed. He was saying, you know, I didn't insult you as a man. I just said that there are times in most athletes' lives where they're not trying as hard. They get older. They don't want to take the hits as much, and I believe that's what's happening to you. He was very measured. But then you had Stephen A. Smith on his radio show, and I love when Stephen A. Smith.
He starts the gospel voice.
Oh, yeah. Let's hear Stephen A. Take it away.
Derek Carr, you need to check yourself. You can't speak the truth. I mean, cats hold stuff against me. I sat up there and go like this. Damn, he had a bad day. He was absolutely god-awful. He shot 2 for 20 from the field. They mad years later. Even though they've admitted I was awful that night. Oh, but Stephen A., it's the way you say it. You know how many guys I've said that have said that to me? It's the way you say that. You know what my response to them is? Yo, can I get paid? Can I get paid? Me talking the way that I talk naturally, not faking the funk, being as real and as...
We know for a fact you don't naturally talk like that.
Yes, you don't fake that funk.
That's important.
You're very... Yeah, and your repertoire of slang, it seems to be from another generation entirely.
That's right.
All the yelling. It's very natural sounding.
Stephen A's like a great guy who's all normal.
Yeah. We had him in studio. He's great.
Yeah. Yeah, just calm. Hey, how are you? Nice
whatever
to meet
pays
you.
The bills, yeah. I guess.
Me talking the way that I talk naturally, not faking the funk, being as real and as authentic as I can possibly be. No shade, no nothing. Gonna give it to you straight filter, no matter what. That has evidently worked for me. It might not work for somebody else, but it's worked for me. Can I get paid? Can I earn a living? Can I do my job? You got cats here in social media and beyond. They want to make money by showing up to the party at the 11th hour and 59th minute, acting like they doing something and they deserve what I got. They didn't work in Archdale, North Carolina, living off tuna fish and Kool-Aid, working for free covering high school sports from 7 to midnight.
He has got a point there. He does. That's what people on social media want to do. They want your job and they don't want to work for it.
Sure.
They didn't work for it and then they find themselves in a position where they couldn't do it or they don't have the talent to do it. So why should you be able to do it? That's absolutely true. It's all in this book I'm reading. I won't bore you with it.
They didn't do multiple internships. They didn't accumulate over 500 published clips before they ever had a job. They didn't start off as a high school reporter and became a backup college writer, to a backup NBA writer, to an NBA writer, to a general sports columnist on the NBA, to a general sports columnist, to a television commentator, to a television host, to a radio commentator, to a radio host. Where the hell were they when I was doing all of this? Derek Carr, you need to check yourself.
Yeah, you kind of ran out of Derek Carr stuff. But
check yourself.
He is right. I mean, the guy busted his ass to get where he is.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know why that has to do with Derek Carr.
Because he thought Twitter, and then he started going crazy on Twitter.
He kind of just went off in a different tangent. And I understand what he's saying, but it didn't really address Derek Carr.
Well, there's not much to say. I mean, you know, hey, jackass, I'm not going to fight you.
Yeah, right. All right, dude, come on. Get real. You
like,
serious?
Like, I'm not. You'd win the fight.
Yeah. You win. Hey, ding, ding. I'm embarrassed.
It would never happen. I mean, your contract would not allow it. I don't wish to get beaten up. There's several things. Yeah, Derek Carr, if you can't take criticism from the media.
It's part of your job, man.
It's part of your job. That is absolutely true. Criticism for the media.
Just get off of social media. And didn't Derek Carr's family, like, block Bert or something like that?
I don't know.
Because this is not the first time I've heard Derek Carr being touchy about something someone said about him in the media. I think this is kind of his thing now.
Well.
Which, if you're a professional athlete, are you on social media at all?
No.
Nope.
Maybe Instagram. Because you don't even have to look at the stuff on Instagram.
Yeah.
You just put something up there. What do I care what anyone says?
Right, I don't read it. It's all about the pictures.
Yeah, you put a picture up there. Maybe you're holding, like, you know, a Dasani. and they pay you.
That's a good point.
You don't have to read any of that crap. Nobody's right. I mean, people on social media, it's very sad. They want what you have, and they have not worked for it. They realize they don't have the ability to do it, so they try to take you down. That's what they try to do. Because their anonymity gives them a voice.
Our boss just texted us and said, I just passed a guy on the pike on a bicycle.
Oh, my God.
You kidding me? Are you kidding me?
All right, be careful what you say.
No. I'm just, well, I know you can't ride. It's illegal, I believe, to ride a bicycle.
I know. That is very irresponsible.
I know what you're saying.
And that's all I have to say.
I know what you're saying. That's...
It besmirches the name of all
the good bicyclists,
right,
out there,
all
right.
The bicyclists that obey the law, and everyone should look out for bicyclists when they're driving, and they are obeying the law if they're on the side of the road riding. That is what I have to say. God bless every bicyclist that there is. Here are the headlines.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
I just saw the Jamal Adams hit on Pat Patriot again. I'll give it to you. He hit him pretty hard.
Yeah, he hit him hard. He knocked him off his feet.
He didn't hit him full speed, but he hit him fairly hard.
Well, I mean, full speed, he would have cracked the guy's sternum.
Yeah. But
I mean, it's and not only did he hit him hard, the guy wasn't expecting it. He turns and it's his Pat. And first of all, we're also imagining that Pat Patriot's eyes are the same eyes that this, of the guy underneath it. He might have just seen foam, like not even able to see out of the costume when he turned his head.
That had to have been pre-planned.
It was not. According to all parties involved, it was not pre-planned. Because don't you think that Jamal Adams by now would have said it was pre-planned?
Sure, probably.
I'm going to go knock this mask out of him.
I'm telling you, every time I watch it, I find something new. My new favorite thing is how Patriots like dancing around. Like,
That's why I always told you, never let yourself get that happy.
Just doing his job, and then he turns and goes, yeah, and not even like a split second to see him coming, even if he could see through the eye holes of Pat Patriot's head, and just kaboom, just gets knocked down.
Yeah.
Apparently, medical people checked him out. What did they say he was shaken up? Painful attack. It was a painful attack.
Did not go to the hospital, receive medical attention on site.
PR, but here was Jamal Adams afterwards.
They're not happy with me right now. The NFL is calling my phone, blowing me up, saying that, you know, I put him in the hospital, so I got to go check on him, make sure he's okay. But do I regret it? No!
There you go. Jamal Adams. I'm glad the guy's like, okay, because now it's completely fine to laugh your ass off at that video because it gets funnier every time I watch it. Every single time I watch it. Although that's why Jackass was great because, you know, they would always dress up in the stuff. For some reason, when mascots get hurt, it's like unbelievably funny.
Yeah.
Admit it. When someone dressed up as like a panda, like falls downstairs or something.
I love Jamal Adams. So I love that he doesn't have a whole lot of remorse for it either.
No, doesn't seem to. Well, Kyrie Irving is an all-star starter. He was the top-ranked East guard in all three voting categories, which were fans, current players, and media panels. So here are your East all-star starters. Kyrie Irving, Kemba Walker, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Kawhi Leonard, and Joel Embiid. That is one hell of a team.
Until you look at the West.
Giannis Antetokounmpo, by the way, we've got the he's going to be the captain of the East. In the West, all-star starters, Steph Curry, James Harden, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, and Paul George. George beat out Anthony Davis on a tiebreaker. That is the fan vote. So he ended up not getting the captain for that one is going to be LeBron James. I heard Chris Webber yesterday say something kind of interesting. He was talking about how, you know, he from the beginning of the year thought the Lakers were going to fail. And his reason was that LeBron James has always surrounded himself with shooters. Like, I mean, you think about his time in Miami. You know, you had Ray Allen there for a while, Mike Miller. I mean, all these guys who were kind of like shooters and snipers. Even Chris Bosh was kind of known as one. And then when he went, of course, to Cleveland, he had all those guys around him. He said there's no shooters on the Lakers. So he didn't think they were going to make the playoffs. So he thinks that with LeBron James, who's been out for, man, it was Christmas. So it's been over a month that LeBron James has been out. Chris Webber's like, if I'm him, I'm shutting it down. He said, because your goal while you're with the Lakers is to win like a championship within the next like several years. He goes, you're not going to win one this year. It's not going to happen. You've played more basketball than any other player in the NBA. You've made it to how many straight finals? Is it nine or something? Eight straight finals? You've played more games than anyone else in the NBA. Take this time to shut it down and just take the rest of the year off. So next year, when you guys can make the moves and hopefully get another player in there, you can get back to normal and maybe Kevin Durant's in the East at that point. So who knows?
By the way, want to guess who the best three-point shooter is for the Lakers this year? LeBron is third. Lance Stevenson is second.
Rondo?
Correct. Rondo is nearly 40% from three this year.
You said Lonzo. Yeah. I mean, it was without a doubt. If he's the best three-point shooter, you got major problems.
It
on
is
that
Rondo.
Team.
Maybe Weber's that kind of attitude is why he called timeout.
Well, listen,
you know, I went to high school with him.
That's what I heard. I've heard you went to high school with him. So, okay, now when do they do the draft? And so I don't quite understand the format of this. So here's your starters, but that doesn't mean they're all going to be playing on the same team.
They are voted in as starters. So that group of eight, other than two captains, will get drafted first, and then they will start on the separate teams. It could be any combination of those eight as drafted by the captains. So
LeBron James could draft
LeBron
Kyrie
James
Irving.
Is get right. LeBron James is a captain of one team. Giannis Antetokounmpo, the captain of the other team, and the two of them will draft from the remaining eight players to see who the starters are. And then the bench will be a different draft.
I hope LeBron James drafts Kyrie Irving so everyone completely craps themselves.
Didn't he do that the last time? Hasn't that already happened?
It's different. It's for the next 3 months, I want people freaking out thinking that Kyrie Irving's going to go to the Lakers.
Okay.
Which would be kind of fun. Just the talk. It'll give us something to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So, yep, Anthony Davis not in on that, but I'm sure he'll be voted in later on. And there has been an announcement. A certain person has been cast in the Breaking Bad movie. Remember there was all this talk that you were going to get, you know, some of the original cast members back?
Mandy Patinkin.
Was Mandy Patinkin in Breaking Bad? Aaron Paul was announced as being someone in the Breaking Bad movie. Now they're saying Bryan Cranston is going to be in it. So where is it going to take place in the whole Breaking Bad universe? How is it going to take place? I know that Mike's going to be in it, they're saying. Kristen Ritter, who was the girlfriend, remember the one who died, Aaron Paul's girlfriend? She's going to be in it. So timeline-wise, where is all this going to take place?
But the important thing is, who's going to play Cranston's son?
I'm sure they probably got him back.
Who was so heavily involved in
he even jokes, even the actor jokes.
No, I know he does.
It's like your best friend at the breakfast table.
Yeah.
Like his whole point was just to show up at the breakfast table and just be there for when him and mom were arguing.
Yeah, there was a parody account of that guy that was really funny. It's like, hey guys, I mean cereal.
So I think it's probably going to be a situation that happens after Breaking Bad is done, but there's going to be a lot of callbacks.
Sounds about right.
That's probably going to be right. Because also all of his friends are going to be in it. The guy who played Skinny Pete, Badger. On top of that, Robert Forster, the guy who helped him get out of town. So it seems like most of the major cast members are going to be back in the Breaking Bad movie. Looking forward to that.
And Seth MacFarlane no longer works on Family Guy except for doing voices, but he has said he is open for a Family Guy movie that he would co-write.
I remember the Simpsons movie being pretty good.
Yes, I went with Adolfo
to
the Simpsons movie.
I remember that being all right. I remember the Beavis and Butthead movie being okay.
The Beavis and Butthead movie, revisited it. It's very good.
Well, Beavis and Butthead is one of those shows that if you step away from it for about 5 or 10 years and you go back, dude, it was brilliant.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. The thing that sucks, though, is you can't find anywhere. I mean, maybe if I dig a little bit more, but I know when they sold like the copies of it, if you download it on like Apple TV, you can't find the videos that they mocked. It's just the episodes and the storylines. And them like mocking the videos was part of the best part of that show.
Yeah.
All right, so the 10 airports with the worst government shutdown wait times of this past week.
Atlanta.
Atlanta's not number one, believe it or not.
No, okay. It's not.
No, Atlanta is number 5.
Okay.
And they say that as of last week, the average wait time was 29 minutes. Now, you have to assume it's going to be going up. And, of course, with the Super Bowl, they're predicting that it could be upwards of 3 hours. That seems a little drastic.
They're predicting that?
They said that if things continue the way they are, and the amount of people don't show up because that will be a third paycheck at that point that they will not get paid. I think by the time the Super Bowl comes around and the sheer amount of people, they said it may possibly take up to 3 hours.
Okay.
So that's their prediction.
The
day after the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Not for us.
No. Friday's different. By the way, 29 minutes is like no great shakes.
Yeah, I thought it was.
29 minutes sucks too.
Yeah, 29 minutes sucks. It sucks a lot.
Yeah,
and that right now there—that is the fifth worst. Number one, Minneapolis-St. Paul, 46 minutes it takes to get through there. Newark, if you have to fly for some reason out of there, 40 minutes. And I don't see Boston in the top 10.
Where's Philadelphia?
Philly always sucks, but it's not in the top 10.
Okay. No, Boston's easy. Boston's the easiest airport to get through security. They do it right there. Atlanta's is infuriating because they say that now that they have three ways to get in. But I've never seen the other two. I've just seen that one big-ass one.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing like when they have like half of the security checkpoints shut to really get you feeling good.
Aqib Talib was at the podium yesterday, and he had this to say about the upcoming matchup.
Two good teams, man. Two good team-oriented buildings. So that's where it all starts. I mean, I think that's where success is made, you know what I'm saying, when guys put the team first. And I think... both of these buildings definitely do that.
How difficult is it to create a culture like that where guys aren't...
I don't know, bro. I'm not in the business of creating them, you know. I'm just a part of them, you know. So, I don't know. You got to ask Sean or Bill that.
Yeah, I'm not in the business of creating cultures.
Oh, that's my dog, man.
I just want to ask him about chain snatching. Like, why did you snatch that chain? How disrespectful is it? Is there anybody else's chain you'd like to snatch? Aqib Talib is my all-time. I think that that is a guy that might give the in the history of the Patriots outside of Rob Gronkowski. Is he the best soundbite, Zolak?
Yeah.
Yeah, without a doubt. And then it goes, geez, him, Gronk, and then, like, who else?
He hates Crabtree.
Yeah, he hates him with a passion.
Yeah, I don't even think it's about a chain or this or disrespect when I play against you. Crabtree, you're such a sorry ass. Then you can come out here with that chain on, I'm going to treat you like a bitch.
And that play, I forget what game it was, but that play when he was with the Patriots, and he did something like he defensed the ball, knocked it down or whatever, and he just went over to the bench and just sat
down like, I'm awesome. Yep.
Someone made a gif out of it. It's one of my all-time favorites.
Belichick loves him. Absolutely loves him.
Oh, yeah. He's got attitude.
Oh, yeah. Remember when Welker hit him? He called him a defenseless hit by the receiver.
He said it was the worst hit he'd ever seen.
I know.
Cheapest hit he'd ever seen or something like that.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.